Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Biz Labs with Dr. Rodney Egan. I'm Jeff Hanna, the host, and we're broadcasting again today from our location at Cornerstone Co-working in downtown Lawrenceville, Georgia, in the southeastern part of the United States. We're glad you're joining us today from wherever you might be listening around the world. Thank you for tuning in, and let's get right to it with Dr. Egan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rodney Egan, and we welcome all of our BizLab leaders today. Just checking in and hope you've been following the podcast. And if so, we welcome you back. If not, I hope you'll go back and listen to some of our earlier podcasts. Had some great topics. Today, I'm going to flip the tables a little bit. Jeff Hanna, if you've listened to the other podcasts, know that he is generally, he's the one that's kind of interviewing and hosting the podcast and hosting it for me. But today I felt like it would be a good idea for us to kind of turn the tables. And I want you to know a little bit more about who Jeff is. But even more importantly than that, as interesting as he is, but I want you to know about some of the things that he's good at and what he does that I think would be beneficial for you. So Jeff is the Vice President of International Services and Commercial Interiors for a company called Exhibit Concepts. They're based out of Dayton, Ohio, and also in Chicago. And Jeff has just a vast array of experience in that world. Jeff has traveled around the world. He spent more time away than he has home, I think, some.
Yeah. Well, my wife would tell you that, yes, that's true. I've spent more time outside of the country than in the country since we got married.
Well, so tell us just quickly some of the country, some of the highlights of where you've been and working in the field you're in.
Well, I've been able to, which has really been a blessing, but I've been able to really work all over the world in over 50 countries. So that's been really interesting to me, everywhere from working with the Esquichua Indians down in the Andes Mountains of Ecuador to people in Hong Kong to Bangkok, really getting to know people around the world, working with them. Sometimes hand in hand, you know, doing projects and developing interesting kinds of things around the world. So I spent a lot of time in Europe and a lot of time in the Middle East, in particular in the United Arab Emirates. And you hear weird names of cities like Abu Dhabi, which most people say, where in the world is Abu Dhabi?
But that's somewhere in Mississippi, isn't it, I think?
Well, not exactly. But I actually lived in Abu Dhabi for the better part of 6 months or so and had an apartment there off and on for a couple of years as we were doing some large projects for Etihad Airways. So a lot of interesting cities and places that sound really neat, but there are a lot of neat places and different people around the world, so it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to lay that context for our listeners to understand kind of why this topic will be pertinent to Jeff and why he is, I believe, and considered to be an expert in the field we're going to talk about. So let's jump right into it. Today, we're going to talk about the topic of working cross-culturally with employees, clients. Some of you may or may not ever go overseas and work in Abu Dhabi, but you may hire someone from there, or you may have a client that you work with, and you're going to be on the phone or email or whatever, and maybe there's something to do with your company. Our globe is becoming very small these days, and so from that perspective, in most any city in America today, you've got a conglomerate of people. And ethnicities, different, you know, stylistic things. So let's just jump right in. Jeff, how important is culture?
Well, I think it's a great question, but culture is one of a really key thing that is probably the most ignored aspect of doing business that's out there, especially when you look at doing any cross-cultural or business overseas or with another country. And this is a hugely ignored factor because it's so intangible. Culture is one of those things that you can't always just put your finger on, or, you know, you can talk about currency exchange, you can talk about geography and locations and hotels and things like that, but the intangible aspect of culture is the part that so many people ignore, and they don't understand it. And then you've got people on the other spectrum who have been to a country once, like they've been to Germany. So, oh, well, I know everything there is to know about Germany. I've been there twice. kind of thing. So you have different attitudes out there from people about culture, and you have a lot of stereotypes. So you have situations where you run into people from, let's say, one background or another, or religious background. They might be Hindu, they might be Buddhist, they might be Muslim. So you have a different perspective, or sometimes some preconceived ideas about those people based on where they're from and what their background is. But culture plays an incredibly important part in the role of business, because the reality is that all of business happens within the context of culture.
Yes.
And we really, it's kind of one of those things we take for granted, because most often, especially for Americans, we tend to think that everybody sees the world the way we see it.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, has the same kind of experiences and the same frame of reference that we have. But the reality is the world is a big place, and there are a lot of different perspectives out there. And when you're used to doing work within the framework of your own cultural context, then everybody kind of does operate within a similar mindset. When you take that into another world, basically, or another country where they have a totally different framework for business, then you start to recognize that there is a whole different context with it within which you're operating. So things start to look different, they sound different, and they are different. So
really, you're saying if I'm going to work with someone, maybe I'm going overseas, and I want them to work for my company or something like that,
yeah.
So you're saying it's not good just to take my policies and procedures and have someone just to translate them into their language and say, there they are, let's go.
No, that's true. That's a good point. But it's much deeper than that, because it goes to one example. Is we did a joint venture with a company in the United Arab Emirates, and one of the core values that we put together in the six core values that I wanted to establish was respect for the individual. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the partner company said, sure, that sounds fine. We agree to that. Then I got a call from one of the executive assistants who called me a couple of weeks later, who was crying on the phone, and she said, well, they're yelling at me, and they've hurt my feelings, and they're telling me to leave, and all of this. And so I talked to those guys, and I said, remember when we talked about our core values, one of them being respect for the individual, why are you yelling at this lady? Well, she made a mistake. And I said, but we talked about respecting the individual. We are respecting you. I'm like, well, what about her? Well, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't count. She's just a worker. Hmm. So there's a totally different, not to say everybody has that mindset in the Middle East, but there is a different frame of reference. And just taking your policies and procedures and translating them doesn't mean the same thing to someone looking through a different lens altogether.
Since in some cultures, you can, they're okay with maybe just a hard, straight on, you can just legislate, these are the rules. Others are relational based.
Absolutely.
Would that be true?
Yeah, that's true.
That you got to sit down and have coffee and talk for 3 hours or something.
Right. Yes, you have countries where they're really looking at a long-term perspective in terms of relationship development, and they want to know who you are. They want to know more about you and develop a relationship with you well in advance of getting into any details about the business. It's, you know, I think in the United States we tend to be very transactional in that regard.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, here's my business card. I'm a good guy. You're a good guy. Give me a call. We'll do business. In those contexts, it's like, well, let's get to know you for the next few months. And if you turn out to be a decent person and somebody that has my similar frame of reference, then maybe we'll work together. And so it is a much longer process. There's often, you know, like in the trade show part of things where we work a lot, we have to look at hospitality. That's a huge part of trade shows overseas. Whereas if you're doing a trade show in the United States, rarely are you serving, you know, coffee and having a table or whatever set up for people to have snacks. I mean, occasionally you do it, but in Europe, in the Middle East, and in Latin America, it's very typical that you're going to have cafe tables set up, you're going to have somebody serving food all during the day.
Here we just give them a mint or a pen or a keychain.
That's right. And put in your bag
in
as
your
you walk
plastic
by.
Baggie to walk.
That's right.
Let me, I don't want to turn it in a totally different direction, but let's put it into context with a lot of our listeners maybe working in, probably most of them are working in companies here in the U.S. And maybe let's say you work in a warehouse, you know, environment or an industrial environment, or maybe in an office complex, and you have, you know, 8 or 10 people there or 100 or whatever, but you have people that are, they're from another culture, they're from another, you know, whatever. And obviously they're here working, and we're not really sure how to engage them and to make friends or to help them. Again, we may not yell at them, and so they think we're not serious. They're used to being yelled at. I don't know. I'm just saying, how do we begin to cross that barrier and learn that?
Good question, because that happens. I think a lot of listeners are probably finding themselves somewhere touching a situation similar to that. Because
we have neighbors, we have soccer parents, we have, I mean, they're everywhere, and we don't know how to relate to that correctly.
Yeah. Or we do think we are, and we're often offending them with some of the things we do and say. I found that to be true. So, yes, I think we need to be more sensitive to the fact that they're coming from a different cultural context altogether. So that's really important. And the more we can understand, I mean, the foundational thing is understanding a little bit of what those cultures value as important. One of the things that I often talk about when I'm doing training and teaching on cultures or speaking about it is the fact that there are different dimensions of culture that we can tend to focus on. There are things like, how do you view time? How do you view hierarchy and authority? Is it a what we call a high power distance index, meaning that the people that really control or hold the power are very distant from the people who are doing the low-level work in the country, whereas we live in a society that's very egalitarian. We strive to be equal, right? We want everybody to be, you have as much power as me. You could be the CEO of a company, or you are a CEO of a company, or whatever, and you can still relate to these people that might be just everyday average people. Whereas in those cultures, you wouldn't speak to them necessarily or be in a relationship with them. There's a lot of distance there. So you look at the dimensions of culture, like time and like power distance, and how the societies are held together, whether they're very collectivist or individualistic societies and those kind of things. So if you can educate yourself a little bit more on what's important to that specific culture that they're coming from, then you can help to understand that person and help them actually integrate and have less culture shock when they come to work for you or work in a team setting. You know, there's a good example, a mutual friend of ours, Anka John, who is a coach for people who are expatriates working in the United States. And she comes from a background of communist Germany, but she's been in the United States and works with a lot of people, particularly from Germany, who migrate to the U.S. She was working with one individual who was having trouble fitting into his organization here in the U.S., an example just like you stated, and he just wasn't getting along with his teammates. He was doing good work, but they weren't relating well together. So she said to him, and through her coaching, talked to him about, you've got to start having a little bit of chit-chat with people, like water cooler kind of conversation. Ask them how their weekend was. How's their dog? And he said, I don't care about their dog. I don't care how their weekend was. I just want to do the work. And she said, no, but you have to do that, because the Americans expect that you have a little bit of concern about them personally, and chit-chat is a way to do that. It totally transformed his working relationship here in his company, and he's since moved up the corporate ladder and so on. But that simple fact of how he was engaging with people with chit-chat kind of stuff.
You know, I haven't traveled as much as you and spent as much time there. I've been about 14 different countries, and even to like Vietnam, Cambodia. Mm-hmm. These are some really unique, different type places, as well as, you know, South America, some Europe. What I'm finding is you really can't go anywhere that I found that you don't find English. Everybody's learning English. So here's my question. A lot of the employees and maybe people that are living and moving here, obviously they're learning our language to a degree. They still have theirs, their heart language or their trade language, whatever. And while they don't want to maybe totally integrate to our culture altogether, they also do like some of the Western ways and learning how to do some of that. how can we, without looking as though we're looking down or condescending, how could we help them, as you're kind of telling this guy from Akka, how do we approach that subject to say, let me help you understand how we operate, because we don't, you know, maybe yeah. some of these are working their way into to leadership positions, but yet they're from another culture, and they need to know how to do that.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I think that comes over time. It's usually if somebody's been in a culture long enough, they figure that kind of stuff out and they learn it.
Okay.
But they're going to have a lot of problems till they get there. You know,
yeah,
it's going to
sure.
be how many times are they going to have to run into the, you know, wall and hit their head on the wall not understanding. But I think it's, you know, humans, as we talk a lot about DISC and other types of assessments of human behaviors and so on that we've talked about on many of the previous podcasts, we are complex creatures as
yeah.
as designed by God. And you add culture, it's one more layer of complexity besides
yes.
the male factor, female factor, whether you're from the north or the south or things
yeah.
like that, but you add culture into it as well. So it there's a lot of things that determine how we behave. But helping in a respectful way, what we call a cultural context viewpoint, there's a thing called an ethnocentric viewpoint, and an ethnocentric viewpoint is where you look at the other culture through your own lens and you make determinations or judgments of whether those behaviors they do are good or bad based on your own cultural context. Now, a cultural context framework is where you try to put yourself in the culture that they're from or look at it from their perspective and see what they value as important, and then that helps you understand why they do certain things that they do. For example, and this is kind of a crude example, but you know, blowing your nose, for an example, is something that people commonly do. We blow our nose into a Kleenex and put it in our pocket often or whatever. And someone from India would look at that and say, that is totally disgusting, why you would do that, you know. But they see it from a different context. And so I think that's the difference between having an ethnocentric viewpoint and a cultural context viewpoint, which is something that we really should all be working towards having. Doesn't mean yeah. that we don't think that they're right and wrong. It's just different things that are happening, and it's not necessarily bad or good. It's just different.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing about it, if the globe is getting smaller, it's also getting smaller because of the internet and learning those things. So there's a lot of ways, you know, I would suggest if you have employees or coworkers that are, you know, from different countries or cultures and you don't know how to do the right things or the appropriate things, obviously there's always Google, isn't there? But let's go beyond that for a minute. Tell us about, I know you have a you know, as far as blog, and you write a lot about that. Is there a way that if somebody has that, they could go to your place and read some more about that?
Sure. My main blog area where I write and put most of my content about this sort of stuff is globalexhibitor.com, GlobalExhibitor, globalexhibitor.com. Hopefully I spelled that correctly. But you'll find my blog there, and it's particularly written for an audience who are exhibit managers, marketing professionals, people that are marketing and doing business of any kind overseas, I think can find some good helpful things there. And also there's other links from there that would give you access to some other more purely cultural type studies if you want to do those as well.
Wow, Jeff, it's been real interesting to me. I think learning, you know, culturally, I understand that just like there's cultures across the seas that are different than us, you know, I know I'm a southern boy, so northerners are a completely different culture, you know. So
that's right.
I say that in jest for our listeners in the north, and I know you guys probably try to figure us out as well from the south. I just tell everybody in here, Jeff, we say the same word, it just takes us three more syllables to say it. So we talk a little slower sometimes.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I want to maybe in closing just throw this out there too as well. If you have a company and you have, you know, various top cultures in that company and you're looking for how can we get some help with that, I encourage you to contact us. Let us know at Connexus. We have avenues and people that could help you with that in consulting, in coaching. And so, you know, you can go to our website, theconnexusgroup.com. Find out, you know, shoot us an email. You can office@theconnexusgroup.com. And we'd love to connect with you and see, you know, some ways that we could engage and help you to become more successful in that. Any parting thoughts on any of that, Jeff?
Well, no, I think that's good stuff. I've enjoyed the conversation, and I hope that people will, as a takeaway, just remember to be more sensitive when yeah. they're working with or interacting even with their friends or other people from around the world, just understanding that culture plays a much more important role in everything we do than people think about. It's just one of those things we take for granted, and I hope that people will start to think a little bit more about the cultural context in everything that they're doing.
Great, great info and great wisdom.
Thank you all for listening and joining in today. This has been another episode of Biz Labs with Dr. Rodney Agin, and we're broadcasting from our location at Cornerstone Coworking in downtown Lawrenceville, Georgia, in the southeastern part of the United States. We appreciate you joining us. Please spread the word about our podcast,
yes.
like us on iTunes, and rate us on iTunes. That helps us as we're continuing yes. to see a spike in our ratings, so that's really good.
Sounds good, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys will let us know, let your friends know.
Thank you.